We're speaking with Joe Tate, and he is a candidate for Sandpoint City Council. I want to say, Joe, thank you for taking time to speak with us.
You're welcome. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start by getting to know you. Tell us a bit about yourself, how long you've lived here, how'd you wind up here, and you know, any qualifications you think are pertinent to the office you're seeking.
Sure. So I've been here since 1984, born just in a little building. I think it's the meeting place now, right behind Fifth Avenue Car Wash. My mom chose to do a midwife birth in an upstairs.
So you're born here in town?
Born here in town.
Okay.
Yep. Grew up here. Shipped off to college in 2002. Went to Montana State in Bozeman for a number of years. Just kind of skied and worked and played.
Figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Determined that I had a propensity for drugs and alcohol. And so with, you know, a lot of urging by family and friends, I went and sought treatment in the summer of 2009.
Okay, big propensity. Yeah, not just typical college propensity.
Yeah, like life had become unmanageable propensity.
I see.
Yeah, so found myself in Arizona for a little bit and then landed in the mountains of Colorado. And got sober, kind of changed my whole life, did a 180, you could say. Kind of found my calling for helping others within like the 12-step community. Like the 12th step is to carry the message to another alcoholic or addict. So being in that sober community, I volunteered multiple places, did like Meals on Wheels and lots of different things, including working for like a youth recovery center. And then the one place that I went, got a job there, finished my undergrad in sustainability studies in Colorado, and kind of got to a place. I got kind of priced out of Colorado, but also just like I was like longing to come home. Like both sets of my parents live here, multiple brothers live here, nieces, nephews, all that. And this is like my hometown. Mm-hmm. So came back in January of 2016 and went to work just like, you know, a big percentage of people in this area. I worked at a therapeutic boarding school up in Naples.
Like Rocky Mountain Academy or it's...
Formerly,
it's,
yeah.
Okay, it's
yeah.
Successor school, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Northwest Academy. So I did that for 2 years, just still in like a substance abuse role. And a lot of therapy involved in there. And I kind of found myself like still wanting to take it to the next level. So I ended up quitting and enrolling in University of Idaho in Coeur d'Alene for a rehabilitation counseling master's degree. Mm-hmm. So I did that from 2018 all the way through COVID. Interned at Kinnexu Health here in town and worked there for a few years as just a mental health therapist. I have the substance abuse, you know, component in my repertoire. However, I kind of just was drawn to more trauma work and just, you know, the basic kind of anxiety, depression, PTSD.
Counseling. Yes.
Correct. Yep. And then kind of went to a couple group practices here. And then about 2 years ago, I opened up my own business called Sandpoint Mental Health Counseling LLC. Super generic. It's easy to Google, you know. That's kind of, mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to get too out there with a name.
So you have your own practice now?
My own practice, mm-hmm. Yep. So I work predominantly with adults. I really have a affinity for veterans. There's a lot of law enforcement, first responders, and veterans in our area. So I'm drawn to them. Mm-hmm. They're drawn to me. Mm-hmm. Can't explain it, but it works. Mm-hmm. So so master's degree in therapy, I problem solve. I have to stay very unbiased in my job. So I get people from, you know, all walks of life, people that I don't agree with, people I do agree with, and I have to keep all that stuff kind of in the back. So it's like a unbiased, you know,
just so you try to approach things objectively.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meet people where they are. Mm-hmm. So one of my step aunts in town, Sue Haynes, shout out to Sue Haynes. She was a council member way back in the day. And she's told me for 10 years that she's like, you should run for city council or be a politician. I think you just have the knack for it. And I always thought like, nah, I don't know. And too many things going on and just life and career and whatnot. And then this cycle came up and I saw a Facebook post saying like, there's 3 seats up for city council. We need to get those filled. We need hopefully get some people that really care about our town in there. And I was like, well, I've thought about it. Check. I care about our town. Check. Looking kind of at my schedule and my life situation, I'm like, I have time. And I, you know, throughout my whole life of being in recovery, which is 16 years on August 1st, when I'm giving back to the community, I'm feeling like my best self, my like highest self. So okay. I figured this would be a kind of a different way to give back. It's not driving Meals on Wheels or, you know, go and do a 12-step call or, you know, meeting a client in my office and working through some heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. However, I think it's just another avenue that I could go into.
Public service, yes.
Public service, mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, well, you answered my question, why are you running?
yep.
Good answer there.
Thank you.
So tell me how you think the current council administration are doing for the city. Do you think they're performing well for the city? And then my follow-up question here is that city just a little over a year ago went away from a organized with a city administrator mm-hmm. who was hands-on and managing the city. And now it's run by department heads. But do you think the city administrator position should be eliminated, or do you think the city needs a city administrator? So weigh in on those couple things.
Okay. So sorry, I have like adult ADHD, so go back to the first part.
The first question is, how do you think the current council and administration are doing?
You know, I've kind of like sat back the last few years of just like allowing city to kind of run like the city does, and I don't kind of get into the politics of it. I hear some of the controversies here and there about, you know, getting rid of trees and putting buildings in parks, and, you know, there's other things, and some of the county things have been, I know there's some drama with like the county. But I think the city is in a pretty good place. I mean, I haven't heard, like, as far as like temperature check, there's not people out there protesting necessarily. I think the city council is in a good place, to my opinion. The reason I'm coming into this and putting my, you know, my hat in the, or whatever they say.
In the ring, yeah.
In the ring is to keep it from going in a direction that I think a lot of the locals are afraid of, based on the growth and the kind of what's happened in our community and soaring rent and all that other stuff. So.
And then how about the city administrator part of this equation?
Yeah. And
I know there be one or not,
you know, it sounds like that we did have one a few years ago, and there's a lot of people that are still having a bad taste in their mouth from that person. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's hard to say, and I'm big on like data and like collecting, and you can't just get it right away. So from a couple years ago to department heads now, I think it's maybe too soon to just jump ship on that idea. So mm-hmm. I would say continue to do with the department head structure, mm-hmm. let city council do what city council will do. And ideally kind of everybody kind of is accountable to each other, mm-hmm. and just kind of what happened last week at the city council meeting, it got shut down pretty quick.
Yeah, this airs actually, that'll have happened a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
But that it was the instance in which some of the city council members stood up and walked out because of a question they had for the mayor, basically.
Yeah. So I sat in on that meeting and I kind of saw what had happened, and it looked like there was very poor communication between the council and the mayor, and the only way that they could get their point across, aka hold their boundary, was to do it in the meeting and to break quorum and to go. So I don't see that as like a big issue. I see that as like a hiccup, and I feel like just like in a relationship, any kind of conflict should eventually be met with connection. Like if you can't make connection after a big conflict, then, you know, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. So I think more of those aren't necessarily the worst thing that could happen, but, you know, hopefully they can get on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So open mic now to tell us what you think are the most important issues in the city that voters might want to be, you know, asking their candidates about.
Sure. Well, I know that one thing that has come up just recently is the Chafe 150. And I was able to sit in on the, or I watched the city council meeting when they just kind of like shot it down. And then I've seen the next few council meetings where the Chafe and the Rotary and all the people are coming in and they're not getting quiet. You know, they're getting more loud about it.
And this issue is that Chafe has had an after ride party at the Edgewater, but they won't have that ability while the Edgewater is under construction the next couple of years. So they want to have the after party, mm-hmm. which includes beer and wine mm-hmm. service at City Beach. And
correct.
That right now is as the rules are, you can't have
beer like and wine at the beach. Yeah, it's like a permitting thing. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay, so what do you think ought to happen there?
Well, I know that the council was saying it's a slippery slope to allow permits for alcohol at the City Beach, and if you let one in, then you have to let everybody in. And you know, I feel like there has to be some kind of workability where the Chafe is such a an effective donator contributor to mm-hmm. our community mm-hmm. that, you know, if there's a way to have the event to be large enough and to donate enough money into the community, then that would be the threshold to cross to get said permit. Mm-hmm. And then if, you know, you wanted to just go down there and have a wedding or something and have alcohol, like, are they donating mm-hmm. million or however many dollars mm-hmm. to the Panhandle Education Fund?
The Chafe specifically supports education initiatives that mm-hmm. that the Rotary has.
Sure.
That Sandpoint Rotary has in the public schools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one event would be the Chafe. I would love to get with legal or whoever can help create some kind of code, permit, whatever, to make the Chafe happen mm-hmm. without having this slippery slope that everybody else is worried about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so using some creativity.
That's one issue. Any mm-hmm. other issues that you want to bring up top of mind for you?
You know, just like the affordable housing is very important to me. You know, my background, and I really work with a lot of Medicaid people, and I have ever since I got credentialed. I feel for that community. You know, there's a big discrepancy or disparity of like income in our little town, not just obviously in our whole country as well, but keeping affordability in Sandpoint. And I'm sure there's many ways to go into that. And just that is like a kind of an overarching thing would be.
It's a need. No question, it's a need. The question is, what's the solution?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to take a multifaceted approach because it can get pretty political. So that'd be another thing that I would be interested in.
Affordable housing.
And I think just accountability mm-hmm. on all the levels, whatever city, I mean, city council held the mayor accountable the other day. Mm-hmm. I'd be right there with them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I have a handful of questions about, issues that I've spotted.
Sure.
One being the James E. Russell Sports Center mm-hmm. in Traverse Park. It's been in the news due to shortfalls in anticipated revenues that it was projected to generate for its own operations.
Sure.
What's your take in general on the James E. Russell Center? To clarify, it was built with a $7.5 million gift from the Russell family.
Mm-hmm.
So it really didn't cost taxpayers to get this, you know, it's kind of a really big facility for the town.
Sure. Yeah, it's huge.
Providing, you know, if for indoor sports in a climate where we need some indoors for a lot of the year. But how should the city be dealing with it now that we see that it's going to need some money at least put in for operations?
Sure. So your question is
what's your general take on the James E. Russell Center? And it might be that they should never even have gotten into it, right? And of course, it was controversial when it was built.
Sure.
Because some trees were removed and
The location.
And the Travers family had a family member there on.
I mean, I feel like having that center is a huge asset to the community that we never would have had in the first place, and so. I don't know if that's the Jason Welker department of the city.
The planning and development director.
Director, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, I know he's very intelligent and he's pretty versed in a lot of the econ stuff and how to run these businesses. But they need to get creative and stay flexible about how they can utilize that building to the maximum potential. It's kind of like identifying your customer base. It's just basic like business 101 stuff. I think it's there. We can't turn back time. Mm-hmm. So how can we move forward and make sure that that place is run just like, and if the city can't run it well, is there an alternative way to get somebody in there that knows what they're doing to capitalize on, you know, the facility and what we have to offer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, you know, to expand that a little bit, the whole Travers Park has had some major recreational facility improvements with the doubling the size of the skateboard park.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bike path, a bike pump trail now.
There. Yeah, the pump track.
Yeah. And then there's, they rebuilt the kids' playground to be accessible for, you know, kids that might have developmental issues.
Sure.
So that whole, I guess the question, it's not really a question, but that whole park is an asset for the community.
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Well, staying on the recreation theme here. So, you know, it was recently announced that there aren't going to be any adult volleyball leagues that are run by the city rec department this winter. And I think it's kind of a facilities issue. But also there's been the removal of the lifeguard stands at City Beach, which are now up for sale as surplus. So a couple of questions here are what philosophically do you think the role of the city should be in having a recreation department and provided these amenities and programs as a quality of life benefit for city residents?
Mm-hmm.
And then... I guess, boil that down. Do you think the city recreation department and programs are important? And then specifically on the removal of lifeguard stands at City Beach, the fact that they're selling them seems to indicate the city doesn't intend to get a lifeguard program going again, City Beach. So what's your take on that? Should we have lifeguards and make that enough of a priority to make sure that program goes forward?
So to touch on the rec programs, I've played in softball leagues and volleyball leagues, and I love it. It's super fun, and I definitely would hate to see those go away. This is the first time I'm hearing of this, that they're getting rid of the volleyball. I think the city should manage a rec department for sports. I think sports are incredibly important mental health-wise. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to have that. People need to be out there moving and doing. I think it's a shame that I'd be willing to do a little more like digging into what happened with, you know, the fairgrounds in the city and what's going on with that relationship. Like
where the facility where the
correct
where the volleyball leagues are held. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a shame. Yeah. I mean, that would be definitely something that would be near and dear to my heart to investigate further to try to create a system or get the right people in the right places to say like, this has got to be, how did this get dropped? Because usually that kind of issue happened a while ago for all of a sudden now we're hearing about it. So that's a short falling on somebody's part.
How about the lifeguard program?
You know, that I had imagined that's an insurance thing, whether to have lifeguards at the beach or not.
What I have read is that it's actually been difficult to get kids into the program. Mm-hmm. They're having trouble finding the kids that would be the lifeguards for them mm-hmm. as a summer job.
Okay.
Which used to be, I think, having lived around here for 35 plus years, that was kind of a great thing for kids to do in the summer as a summer job.
Yeah.
So but it's not just here. I do know that other cities have had the same problem mm-hmm. in staffing a lifeguard program. So I don't know, you being a council guy, yeah. is this a problem that you think should be solved, or should the lifeguard program go away?
Well, I mean, I love the idea of having a lifeguard. I was a lifeguard for a little while when I worked at the boarding school. It's like a fun, cool job to do. I don't know. I think it's back down to like the city. Like, do they have to have lifeguards in order to be able to, or do they just put up a sign that says there's no lifeguards, you're swimming at your own risk?
Well, that's actually why they took the lifeguard stands down, because it kind of, the fact that the stand was there implied there would be lifeguards, right?
There you go.
Even though there was a sign that said no lifeguard on duty.
Yeah.
You know, you see a lifeguard stand, you could kind of conclude, oh, well, lifeguards around here at least some of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably, it has to just boil down to pay, right? Like, if a kid doesn't want to do a job, it's probably because they're not getting paid a fair wage or an adequate wage that would excite them to do this job. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's a deep.
It's something that would need to be dug into.
For sure.
For sure. But I guess, I mean, the question is, do you think it's worth the city's time to try to make that program happen?
I think the city beach is one of the crown jewels of our town. And those lifeguard stands are kind of a landmark in a sense. Mm-hmm. So I think it should be mm-hmm. something to look into for sure.
Okay. Well, we only actually have a few minutes left. It's amazing how fast time goes here.
Yeah.
So more quickly, local impact fees. The city council just a little over a month ago decided to increase the local impact fees as of January.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that
coming up this January?
This January, sure. Yeah. Do you think that's a good move?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the local impact fees are whether levied on new development to help defray the costs that,
sure.
that new development will bring with it.
Yeah, and I think that's where I might get a little more in depth with like who's building and what it's the purpose. Is it a single family home or is it a commercial property? And is there a difference in those impact fees? And that would be something where if you could focus on single family homes or multifamily homes, as long as the rent is somewhat adjusted to make it more affordable, I'd imagine that would encourage more building.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think, theoretically correct.
Yes.
if it's lower, if the impact fees are lower, it does encourage more building.
Easier said than done,
puts the onus on the taxpayers to, mm-hmm. Pay for the extension of new services. Okay. The city's got a wastewater treatment plant proposed bond. It's going to be on the same ballot your name is on.
Yes.
Do you support that? It's $130 million.
They chose the $130 million option.
That's the proposed amount as a maximum. If they can get the that amount approved, then they will be able to go out and try to find grants and funding sources that would bring that cost down.
From what I remember hearing about that is that it was like a federal act. You could maybe tell me if you remember what it was called, but it was a long time ago where the federal government would come in to make sure that communities had healthy and clean drinking water. And so it sounds like there is federal money supposedly available. How hard are we looking for it is the question. So I think it would be a balancing act of like, is the city going to just try and pass this and not look for the money as hard, or if it doesn't get passed, does that make the city, like, who blinks, you know? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be the taxpayers or the city, mm-hmm. aka the federal government? I do think it needs to happen, and I think knowing what I've heard about the wastewater treatment plant, it's dated back to World War II era.
Mm-hmm. So some parts of it, yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So as far as, like, clean water and access to clean water and public health needs to happen, it could be growing pains, mm-hmm. but...
Joe Tate, candidate for Sandpoint City Council. We are officially out of time.
Okay.
If people want to find out more about you and where you stand on things, how would they do that?
Facebook, mm-hmm. Joe Tate for Sandpoint City Council. I have a page. There's an Instagram, same title. I'll be waiting to get a little more interest, but I'll be hopefully hosting some, like, live events where I can get on there and get people on there and ask some questions and get together. And mm-hmm. There's a few interviews I put out there, questionnaires about doing councilman coffee with a councilman mm-hmm. candidate, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. opportunities.
Coffee clutch. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think just reach out on social media is the easiest way. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I can, you know, start to get back to people that way.
Okay. Joe Tate.
Thank you.
Candidate for city council. Thank you.
Appreciate it.